Yeah, so today's talk is going to be about continuous integration and configuration management. And it's kind of interesting. It's something that before I joined CF Engine, I really didn't give a lot of thought to because we're so used to living in the silo world as sysadmins, or if you're in the development world, you're always used to trying to bang someone's door down, trying to get something done because it's very difficult. And one of the things that I would like to see as we move forward and within the company, and I'm sorry about the, it's not gratuitous advertising, I just have to use that letterhead when I do what I got to do here, but is move us a little bit closer in that direction, and we're very sensitive to that in that area. So for today's agenda, essentially the overview, can we get along? And this rides right along with DevOps concepts, you know, can admin, can apps, can dev, can we all play on the same ground? I think over the past couple years, we've figured out that we can do it quite well. Requires a few things, which I'll get into a little bit later. What the playing field looks like, the kind of things you're gonna need, how would you set up your environments to do this? What kind of tools do you need? What are the processes that you need to put in place? And the players involved to make this all work in a decent way. Finally, putting it all together, I'm going to go through something that I did as a quick lab experiment, and I used a few open source tools that are currently out there. And next steps, where do we go with this from here? And I want to go over a workflow portion, which is basically more of a demo towards the end of just going through how things would normally work in the field, provided I could somehow turn myself around and see what I need to do. But we'll see how that goes. So the very first step is freedom to act. Can we get along, right? No matter where you are within the IT organization, no matter what you do, you have tasks that you need to perform. You need things that you need to do. You don't need someone holding your feet to the ground. And what we plan, or what the thing that we want to do is to be able to just get our jobs done, and so by the end of the day, the company does well, we do well, everyone's happy. With that, there's assurances that we have to be on the same page, okay? I saw this shot down in D.C. I actually took it because it just cracked me up immensely. You know, essentially, you got this is one way and can't go there. It was perfect for Gridlock Central, in my opinion. So we want to make sure that whatever someone's doing, someone isn't undoing. That's another critical part of when you talk about continuous integration with this. Finally, collaboration. You could probably tell by the hair, I do a little bit more than just IT work. I'm also a drummer, and I work with a number of different folks from bands to tribal dancing. And the thing that I really enjoy about the tribal dancers, and this is why I put them up there, they can do an entire routine without ever planning it, without ever understanding what is going to be done, but they do it through verbal and nonverbal communication. They look it towards their leader, and they're able to pull off some pretty spectacular stuff. It's all improv. And in a lot of ways, in IT, we do a lot of stuff that's improv. Even though we think we have mechanisms, even though we think we have processes, we don't always have that in place, and sometimes you got to go on the fly. So what are some of the ground rules? Well, I like Latin, so first, do no harm. That's probably the most critical thing here. And this applies for absolutely everybody in this room. I don't care what your job is. Your first job is to do no harm. And kind of going back to the IBM days, whenever we would get a root password when you first come in as a sysadmin, they always say the same thing. Use your powers for good. Don't do anything dumb. Don't become famous. So what is your area? Right? Because becoming famous at IBM was a very bad thing. So your area of expertise, what is it? What do you do? What are your responsibilities? How are you supposed to take care of your day-to-day things? And with that, know your roles. Stay within the guidelines of that role. And again, communicate. Make sure that everyone knows what you're doing and what everyone around you is doing. I think the final bullet point there is always building trust. I think that's pretty critical. We got to make sure that the people that are working in various departments with us we all have each other's back and we're all looking out for one another. So, in terms of a playing field, what's it going to look like when you want to set up continuous integration in a configuration management world in a traditionally siloed world? Well, how about a map of something really siloed? This is a map, and I hope you guys can sort of read it. But essentially, this is what I would call discrete infrastructure. And what I've done in this is I've broken this out into a number of different areas where we have a VCS, we have version control in play, we have roles and processes in play, and we also have, for CF Engine purposes, if you're running CF Engine, how we're managing an environment, how CF Engine manages that. So to get these pieces interconnected and understand, you know, how we're going to do configuration management and continuous integration, this is a preferred way where you could say, well, let's use firewalls, let's use subnets, let's make everyone safe. And I'll just go drop right to the bullet points, right? Each environment in this sort of a discrete infrastructure, it's predefined. So just by virtue of sitting in its own space, it makes things a lot easier, especially when it comes to promotion of code. The second piece is in terms of each environment has its own hub, which also really helps out greatly in the distribution of your configuration management files, your policies, what you're pushing out there. Now, the config promotion between the branches, you can really see that that's happening in two locations, or actually happening in every step of the way, really, in all the locations. And the recommended, we do recommend this. This is, for most customers, we say if you're going to set up an environment which is going to consist of your test, your dev, your test, your staging, and your production, if you can do something like this, this is a really good thing to do. However, we know that a lot of people really can't. So in these situations where you got to make best with what you have, it's still doable. It's not a big deal. What you do, the VCS can still be the same. It doesn't have to change. It's just branches on a repo. Your communications, your processes, and your roles, actually, they really don't change either. It's just what you're going to do in your managed environment now. So instead of having everything broken up into various components, what you might choose to do in this point is say, well, I'm going to have one hub that's going to just pull branches that's going to be dependent upon the environment that I'm currently in. And it would look like this. Each environment, and I'm going to speak specifically about from a CF Engine-centric viewpoint, but this would be applicable to any other environment. We would define it by classes. So essentially you would say, well, I could read in a file, or I can look at a file, or I can do something that's going to tell me that this system belongs within my dev group, or this belongs within my test group. We also share a common hub. And don't let that fool you, because even though that says master files, I've seen environments, and just actually worked at one a couple months ago, where master files was never even involved. Inputs pulled directly from your VCS. That's doable. And sometimes it's just a matter, I'm just going to pull diffs over. So there's other ways of getting around that. Configuration promotion between the branches, it really does remain the same. Nothing much changes here. And, you know, this is an acceptable infrastructure, in my opinion. It's probably what most people are using, although we would prefer to see other infrastructures in place. So if you're CF Engine-centric, creating a common environment, 3.6 was just released yesterday. And we just came out with a new variable type that we call data. And data basically allows you to read in large amounts of data and put it into arrays that you could then just do whatever you need to do with them, create classes from them. In the past, it would require a little bit more finesse on your side, but this pretty much spells it out pretty simply. And basically here, all you're doing is you're taking a flat file, you're reading it in, you're defining, you're saying, okay, if I match this system host, or if there's something in the list of defined classes that match me, I will then give it the header of the list that I have. And if I go to that list, it would look like that. So basically, your format would be your environment first and your list of systems that would follow after. So this is just part of your setup. You know, this isn't necessarily pure hardcore continuous integration, but it is a necessary component if you're using CF Engine. It's something to keep in mind. Promises CF, add these classes under def in your bundle sequence. And that will pretty much take care of everything that you need from there. So let's go with a real simple model. Let's go with staging and production. So this is what I like to call the playing field simplified. We don't care about what's on the other end. We want to know how are we going to get various users to put stuff into a repo and then have that eventually promoted out. And as you can see by the dotted lines from the repo, it's just... it's there. It's currently existing in each branch. And all you're going to do from your end, whether you're application development or operations, that's what determines what kind of permissions you're going to have when you do promotion permissions. And as you can see from this map, we really kind of locked down. Now, if you feel like you want to be in an environment where you want to let everyone introduce things into your production, that's your call. You can do that, certainly. I'm a little too paranoid for that. I wouldn't let that happen. But so for that case, that's why I put operations as your final arbiter. So when people put stuff inside the repo and you either work through Garrett or you work through GitLab or whatever other process, you have the final say, I've looked at this, they've run it in staging, it's been successful, they've done dry runs on it, they've outputted me something that I know that this is good and it didn't blow anything up in staging. Therefore, boom, I will push the button, into production it goes. Now, the beautiful thing of that is you are now really empowering your apps people. You're saying, I know that you know what's best for your environment, I'm sorry, for your application. I can't begin to understand that. And for you to spend 3 hours on the phone or by my desk trying to explain that, how about you do it, put it in there, and we'll let it go from there. So that's part of where the collaboration comes in. So in terms of the playing field, what kind of tools? Really, truly agnostic. Use what works for you. Whatever you have currently in your environment, you know, I may work for a company that does configuration management, but you use what works for you, okay? So for the purposes of this presentation, I did use Git, I did use CF Engine, and I did use GitLab. I actually had a Garrett set up and put that in the writing, but unfortunately that kind of blew up. I had to do a real quick switch on that this morning, so I apologize in advance for that. But really, it's just procedural when you really think about it, because code review is code review. You know, the setup might be a little bit different. But so processes. This is kind of important because, I don't know, again, going back to my IBM days, I watched it go from a place where you could turn around something in 3 days then to where it took 3 months to get anything done. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to be agile, we're trying to be fast, but we're trying to be secure at the same time. So what kind of testing are we going to perform? These are the questions that you need to ask yourself, and you need to ask of your app team. Okay, what kind of testing are you going to perform? What's going to constitute a vetted release, you know, from your perspective as well as from their perspective? Does it meet both your criterias? You know, how is the change going to be communicated? Are you going to have sit-down meetings? Are you going to have a weekly change control? Are you going to have something, a beer, you know, just something? Finally, who will be allowed to promote to production? And I sort of addressed that a few slides back. I still really do feel that that resides in the domain of the sysadmin, but that is something that you certainly should talk over with your dev folks and certainly figure out with the app team, you know? Like I said, what works best for you guys is what's going to work. So in this simple model, basically my system team is going to be responsible for system level configuration. So anything that has to do with any configuration management on a system level, we're going to handle that. We're going to take care of that. If we're going to promote the changes, we're going to promote our, and I neglected to add that, but promote system and application or all changes to production in this simple model. Now, the application team, their responsibility is the application level configuration and promoting the changes to staging. And so that means that they're going to run it through dev, they're going to run it through test, they're going to do all the things that they need to do before they even put it into staging. Now, the next piece is putting it all together. And this is just pretty straightforward, installing GitLab and Ubuntu, and I definitely recommend not doing it on CentOS because it was very difficult. It was very, very difficult. So if you're going to actually get GitLab out there, go with that. Go with the Omnibus program. It actually works very well right out of the box. I was very impressed by that. After 2 weeks of fighting with the GitLab thing on CentOS, or, well, 2 weeks I could spare to spare time. So yeah, it's pretty straightforward. You're also going to want to install your OpenSSH server. I'd say go with a nice clean build. Install postfix, and then from there, you know, you have to make a directory or two, change some permissions, and that VI. Essentially, what you're doing there is you're just adding a quick file, which is just saying what your external URL is. And since I'm doing this on an internal virtual system, I'm just using that. You use what, you know, you could use whatever DNS is in DNS or whatever you have. And those are the last two things you need to figure out. And hats off to the Chef folks for working with these people, because they really did a nice job in getting this to work very well. And from that point on, now, this is what I did. I just put three folks up there. I put three groups of people, a DB admin, a web admin, and a sysadmin. And when I say the sysadmin, that could be either a junior sysadmin, third level support, something like that, or first level support, rather. Someone who isn't going to be going in as root and doing stuff. All right, and for each user, you know the typical stuff. You guys have been around the business long enough. Just generate a key and get out, because you're going to need that key later to feed into the GitLab environment. I'm not giving it any secrets there. That is your standard default when you start up GitLab. The first thing it does is it tells you to change it, which is fine. The second thing that everyone will tell you to do, and I'll tell you to do, is don't use that once you've got in there the first time. Use that to set everything else up. Use your own stuff, okay? So get your admin rights, create your groups. I created a CICM group. I gave them developer roles, each one of these, the DB admin, the web admin, sysadmin, which means basically they can just go directly to staging. No one's going to give them any grief about it. You know, they can go directly there. Upload the key for each user. You can either do that, make sure they do it. It's entirely up to you. And then I created project master files, and I used the CMCI namespace for the namespace access, which means all of them can approve those changes. Now, what I didn't say here, I don't think, is I also locked down master, that the only person who could touch master is me. So that would be whoever you folks are. And I highly recommend that you do the same. You're the only ones who touch master. And let's see. Yep, and from that point forward, if anyone's used Git before, you understand that this is a necessary piece of that. You install it, then you have to do your Git config to make sure whoever you are. And since I'm using Ubuntu, I'm using it under my name, because it doesn't like you when you just go in there and try to be root and do everything, and it's more intelligent and smarter that way. So the last piece I did is I got my CFEngine master files, and I brought them over to my home directory, did an add, did a commit, standard stuff. Then I branched them off. I branched them off in the dev and testing and the staging. Then I pushed them all to the master, to dev, to test the staging, once I added my remote origin. Now, the cool thing about that is when you've got GitLab, it already understands this. It's already working with this. And I will show you guys some examples of what GitLab looks like and how it interfaces if you haven't seen it already. By the way, show of hands. GitLab, anyone running? Okay, cool. Garrett? Okay. Anyone running anything else? Okay. How'd that work out for you? Don't?
They really like
it. Oh, cool. All right, excellent. Question?
No, we're actually looking at another tool for code review in the Atlassian tool set. But
okay.
The name just left my head.
Okay. Okay, cool. So that does everything you need. Excellent. Excellent.
It's everything but the SCM. It bolts onto the existing
SCM. Okay, very good. All right. So I think that even though I'm using, and you're seeing Git, you're seeing GitLab really apply what you have, I think the principles still work. All right. Populating the stakeholders. This is just something I did real quick for each one of the people. And it's I'm glad that I have my colleague Diego here, because this is something I'm going to have sketched up that what we want to create from the mission portal, something that we will do. Now, we have a free 25. And the free 25, I think, could be a decent interface for this as well, if you want to do some of the administrative functions of that. But that's I think that could be another talk, another time. Anyway, for right now, this is just the straight-up command stuff. You can run this over policy. You can run this over whatever configuration management thing you're using, where you're able to add actual parameters. So the next steps, we want to automate. In the CF engine perspective, we want to automate them. So we want to pull into inputs from the repo using the proper branch. And that's basically of adjusting internal files. So this also works for anything else that you may be using, whatever configuration management system that you're using. Wherever you get your feed, make sure that you're pulling directly from location A into that feed. And the branches, in our scenario, we're going to populate the var CF engine master files on the hub itself. Although you can work directly, as I said, with the inputs. You can pull directly from anything, Subversion, Git, doesn't matter, and let it run that way. So the reporting, I went very slim on this. This is probably the most minimalist slide I could imagine. It's so white in its whiteness. But so this one is basically just say, set alerts that a new bundle was placed in the staging. So with our latest 3.6, we have the ability to create alerting on a dashboard. And it will actually create mail. So if you just want to keep up to date with something like that, that would be a mechanism. Maybe you're scanning your master files directory, your inputs, and that something has, in your staging environment, something has changed, it'll alert you. And the design center, basically, you can create and remove stakeholders, set the stakeholders up for Git, and stakeholders is really your web folk, your DB folk, all the other people that make your IT organization run, who's not a system admin. Clone your latest master files, assign appropriate branch, all doable, and create the directory to store the stakeholder data. So you can config some bundles or the bundle sequence. And that's actually what I did in mind, because I'm thinking, I didn't want people continually overwriting a promises.cf file or the bundle sequence. So maybe if we leave them in with their own little container, we can just basically call the reference. And anytime the reference is changed, we will read that in as an array. So no sweat. Create the references to the bundle. And I think the mission, okay, yeah, I hit that. Okay, so workflow, this was the part where I was really hoping I could be able to see exactly what I'm doing. So what I want to do is I'm going to take this down from now, and I'm just going to do one of these peaks over on this side. So first off, let me get over here. Can everyone see that okay? Good. And I'll also give you another idea of this. And let's see if I can actually stretch that out too. Wow, this is going to be an interesting control. Super. Ah, control super. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, right? Well, you mean to do a clone screen, right?
That's to maximize it so it builds the screen. Yeah.
Ah, yeah, I'm just actually what I'm thinking about doing is just try to do a clone, but I don't want to waste your time as I play around with the system settings. But I think I will just take a second for that. Let's see, displays, built-in, mirror displays. I think we're in business. I hope we're in business. Oh, yeah. Keep this. I think we're set. Okay, everyone see everything okay? Okay, you can see that, and you can see this. And now I don't have to feel like I'm going mad. All right, so basically this is the GitLab interface. If I spread that out a little bit. And as you can see, I have a little master files here, which basically is what I created. It's your DB admin. And it's got a quick running list telling you what's been going on. I closed the merge request. The DB admin did a couple things. I commented on some things, and you know, from files to commits. And actually, the cool thing about this, you can actually directly go to whatever tree you want. So, say, staging. Now, I'm in as me. I can do anything. But let's say I come in as someone else and try to write to master. It's not going to allow me. It's going to lock me out. So I won't bother going through that. But if I go through merge requests, we have nothing pending, no issues. And so is there anything that you folks would be interested in seeing about this, or shall I just go right to what we normally end up doing, going to our command line, right? Because the thing is, right through through GitLab, or if it's Garrett, or if it's anything or others that will allow you to do the actual editing on the item itself, you can do that as well. So if we were to say, let's go into the DB policies, because really, that's where I want to be. That's where I do my work. You see, I have a couple things here. I have two bundles, and I have a test report. Okay. So maybe I want to create a third bundle, and I'm not going to get too fancy for time and brevity's sake. All right, just copy that. And of course with that, I also want to do one of these because I want to make sure, because I'm not going to doctor or play around with the promises.cf. Just want to make sure that this guy does what it needs to do. All right, so if I do a git add, little m, let's do a git commit, and let's say yet another one. Okay, hit that. We've done that, and let's push to origin. To staging, so DB. Now, if you do this directly on the GitLab, it's not going to ask you for authentication because you've already authenticated. But here, it's going to actually ask you for that. All right, so it sent it out to staging. So if we go back down over to our GitLab example, which seems to have disappeared. Wow, where did that go? I guess I'll pull another one up then. Actually. So, let's see if I push the staging. So, I'm already logged in as DB admin. And I recognize that I pushed the staging, so now I want root to understand that I really want to get this in the master. And this really needs to happen because I'm misspelling it. And basically just go through that. Submit the merge. And there's my request. So what would happen at this point, I've already gotten an email, and I've had my mission portal, which I'm going to bring up as well, my enterprise hub, which is right there. I'm going to my dashboard. And there we could see staging updated. Like I said, that was an alert that I'd created. And if it would have emailed me, because I didn't send it into the staging thing yet. But however, if it would have emailed me, and that would have basically said where you see that one with the one host, that would say that down there as well. There would be some kind of warning there to tell me that I need to do something. So now I just lost it again. So how do I get the lost one? Don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I just have a lot of these flying up there then. Okay.
I imagine once you go back to split screen.
Oh, my God. They're going to be everywhere. It's going to be funny. Okay. If it allows me, let's go to GitLab. Okay. DB admin. Sign in. Okay. So now the DB admin opened the merge request, and actually what I wanted to do is I wanted to come in as me, because I'm the guy who says that this is allowed. So if I take a look at merge request, it was created by everyone, and I'm one merge request, and staging, and I'm going to accept it because I've looked through. It looks okay. And actually, if I really want to take a look at it, I might even decide to say, well, before I do that, let's take a look at the code. What did this guy do? Okay. Well, I can handle that. And he added the bundle. Looks good to me. I can run right with that. And yes. Add comment. Looks good. Comment is there. Obviously, it would probably be something a little bit more. And I can add it, and we just put it into master. So even though I stepped in the middle of all this, it was someone else who did the work. It was someone else who created the code. It was someone else who tested it and did the things that I wanted to see it tested. Now, normally, when they would do that and they would do the request, you can also say, well, you know, do a dry run on it or do a no-op or whatever your programs allow you to do and paste it, copy and paste it. I want to see the output. And then, like I said, if they're running it in staging already, you can just take a look and see if it's destroying your, you know, take a look at your logs and such. So we are at, let me get this, 11:33. Okay. Yeah. So, oh, there you go. That's what I was thinking. What happens if I decide to do something crazy? Like, let's say, I don't know. Let's change my branch. Let's say git. That's not what I wanted. Okay. So I switched. So if I want to do a double check on that, take a look, and I noticed I'm a master. So I don't know. I've had a bad day today. I'm pretty mad. So I think I'm gonna do something that's not gonna make life very happy for people. Or maybe I just had a good day and I just wasn't paying attention and thought I was in staging. So do the add, do the commit, but we'll put bad one. So we got bad file that's in my local area. Well, what happens if I try to move that any forward into master? And it's saying no. Well, actually, it's saying no because I was supposed to do. I've just changed everything. I'm still running off of something here, but basically, it will turn me down because I don't have the right permissions on it, and it will refuse it, notate that, and that way we can you know, ensure that people aren't doing things that they shouldn't be doing. So I have a few minutes. Any questions?
Are you using that with post-commit hooks, or are you just using an ACL editor and your SCM tool, or what's the proper setup for that?
Yeah, actually, that was one thing I really didn't get very deep into. I didn't use the post-hook setups. I set a lot of things just right off the bat from Git. I was trying to make it very superficial. So I think, if you have expertise in what you're using, go with that, and go with what you know is going to make it the safest that you can have it. So is that an acceptable? Cool. Awesome. Anyone else?
First, when you said like you have those different groups, and you have like one group or one person that actually allows those commits to be happen in master or merges them, it was a little bit like, oh my God, is he like doing all this old thing again, like one group there and the other one there? Then I thought, actually, I was working at the Swiss phone book like some years ago, and we actually had an interesting workflow which actually fits very well into what you described, and that is, there were teams like of developers, teams of sysadmins, and there was one team that was actually made by the heads of both teams, which were allowed to like put things into production. So what I just wanted to mention here is like, if you had the same impression like I did, like this may be like sysadmins versus developers, like old style, you can actually use this approach to say there's a group of trusted people who are either developer or sysadmin or both, or you know, whatever they are, or even a manager, depending on his skills, to be able like to like protect the production side and say, all right, we're going to merge these changes right now and also like roll them out on this particular time, likely Friday evening or so. You know.
Oh, excellent. No, it's very valid. Thanks. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
So one of the things that seems to be sort of on the periphery of what you've talked about, and it seemed to be particularly when you were showing off the CF Engine Enterprise dashboard there, is that the configuration management system needs to be aware of commits, and most of them aren't at this point, right? Like, you know, if you make a commit, it's you know, the configuration management system cares about what its current set of configs are, and it isn't introspecting the VCS. Is that, do you see that as sort of a requirement for moving forward, or where does that fit into all of this?
Just personally, from my own paranoid way of thinking, I think it would be a very good thing to do moving forward. I think that, you know, what you know coming, whatsoever coming upstream at you, you know, forewarned is forearmed, right? Yeah. So yes, I think it's a good approach. Basically that's why exactly I set up that alert for that reason. So, I mean, if you have someone monitoring the GitLab thing itself, it's also good to know. But I think from from your admin team to be able to say, okay, this is coming down the pike. Yeah, definitely a good idea. 7 minutes. Well, no, six. We can get people to tell jokes.
I'll actually ask another question if no one else has any. So unlike your third slide or something, you said, you know, the systems folks will be responsible for systems configs and the application folks will be responsible for application configs. Historically, that is an extremely difficult line to draw.
Yeah, I understand that.
So how do we get closer to drawing that line?
That's a really good question. Hence the simplified model. Wow. No, I mean, it's. I've come from both worlds, and I understand the need to do both. And I. It goes back to the very root of the whole concept behind DevOps. How do you allow everyone to do what they need? Communication and trust, right? I think that's the most important ingredients for that. It's communication and trust. And I think that's what leads us closer to it. Not bogging it down in too much process, but not making it so freewheeling that bad things can happen, basically. So it was workable?
Yeah.
Cool. Yes, please.
Sorry, just to follow on to that. So where I work, we have a lot of our time is spent working with the different dev teams on things like abstracting configuration settings so that they can be more flexible during deploys to different tiers and so on, not completely inextricably built into the code itself. And mainly how we try and work on that is dialoguing, and the engineering department has some coding standards. Is that kind of how you see the approach? I mean, I absolutely agree about the trust and
right. Working
on that, but also do you think that things like coding standards or some sort of approach like that can help with the where do you figure out, rather than having to figure out every project by every project,
right. Where
that line is?
No, actually it's a really good observation because I definitely believe that since it's a DSL, right? For CF Engine, it's its own design language. For Puppet, Chef, or any other, CM tool you may use, they have their own DSL. So I don't think it's too difficult to put some kind of a design standard in place, you know, and also say, well, you need to run this, you need to do that in accordance with that. So, yeah, I think that's yeah, valid. I mean, that's definitely valid. Can be doable. Should be doable. Okay. 3 minutes. Anyone have any bad jokes? Really, really bad ones? No, well, I hope you folks pulled something out of this. And I just want to thank you all for being attentive. And I appreciate the time. And, you know, thanks. Let's say.